Morning, Thelma.
Oh, morning, Bertha.
Today is the last Sunday that Jim Lapteason is going to be here. Did you know that?
Yes, I know that. Why is he leaving anyway?
He's leaving because he's interment.
Interment? He's not dead, is he?
No, not interment. It sounds like that, though. Interim, that's it. He was our interim pastor, just here to help out until we found a new pastor.
Well, that was nice. Mm-hmm. Did you like him?
No, not really.
Me either. He did too many strange things.
I agree. Why does he have two last names anyway? Which one is his, Lep or Thiessen? And whose is the other one? His wife's? His mother's?
Who knows?
And why couldn't he ever stand behind the pulpit when he preached? What does he think it's there for? Decoration? I'm surprised that the carpet on the front stage isn't all worn out from all his walking around.
He's very fidgety, isn't he?
They say it's because he drinks too much coffee.
That's why we have a big pot of it now in the foyer. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I find all that movement of his very distracting, don't you?
Definitely. One Sunday, I was sitting in my pew, looking straight ahead, minding my own business, and planning out my next quilt.
Oh.
I was getting some really good ideas. When all of a sudden, I noticed this movement out of the corner of my eye, and before I knew it, I was watching him. And to my surprise, I started listening to him. Totally forgot about my quilt.
That's terrible.
I know.
Same thing happened to me about a month ago. I'd had quite an argument with my brother-in-law the day before. Mm. So I was sitting here planning what I was going to say to him next time I saw him. Mm-hmm. Boy, was I going to let him have it. Mm. But Jim was doing all kinds of things on stage. He even had stuff on the communion table covered with a blanket. Now, don't you think the communion table should only be used for communion?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there he was. So I found myself wondering, what could be under that blanket? So I, too, started listening to him, and I completely forgot about telling my brother-in-law off.
Oh, that's too bad. That's too bad.
I know. But it was a good sermon.
It was on my Sunday, too. A good sermon.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And don't you think that a pastor should always have the Bible in front of him when he's preaching and read the scripture from the Bible?
Jim doesn't seem to do that. He knows a lot of scripture by heart.
Oh, for goodness sakes, Thelma. He doesn't know it off by heart. Haven't you ever noticed that thing in his ear he's always fiddling with? Someone reads the scripture into his ear. All he does is repeat it.
Thelma, Thelma, I thought so too. So one Sunday after church, I went and asked Justin Newfold about it. And he reassured me that thing in his ear is actually part of the microphone, and he does know it from memory.
Well, isn't that silly? John 3:16 is all anyone needs to know off by heart. What does he do? Sit in his office memorizing scripture all day? Is that what we're paying him for?
Calm down, Bertha. Calm down, calm down. No, no, no. Apparently, he learned it years ago, long before he came here. And people really like it. Did you know last year he recited the entire book of Luke from memory?
Yes, I heard about it. Ridiculous. Who would want to sit and listen to that for an hour and a half?
Actually, my daughter went and she said it was amazing. And lots of people came. The church was almost full. People came from other churches to hear him.
Yeah, my daughter said the same thing. I guess maybe I kind of wish that I'd gone too.
Yeah, me too. Anyway, isn't his wife Ingrid wonderful?
Oh, she certainly is. She is an absolutely lovely, talented, musical woman.
I wonder why she married him.
He probably threatened to recite scripture until she said yes. And don't you think that a pastor should always behave in a dignified manner? Well, I found out recently about quite a fiasco that happened here last November, right here in this church. Apparently, Jim somehow locked himself in the bathroom in the basement. Have you ever heard of such a thing happening to a pastor?
Never.
Anyway, he couldn't get out, so he called the church secretary, Susan, on his cell phone to try to help. Now, I doubt that that was in her job description. So the poor dear went downstairs, but she couldn't get the door open either. So she proceeded to run back and forth through the basement with various tools, none of which worked. And who do you think was sitting in the basement watching all this commotion? The quilting ladies, that's who. They watched in horror and finally asked Susan if perhaps they should pray for the situation. So Susan said they could, so they did. But even that didn't help. So next, Susan called the church chair, Vic Martins, to come and help. Now picture this, Thelma. The church chair standing outside in the cold, while the church pastor is crawling through this little basement window, crawling through the mud to get out of the church, while the church secretary is standing and giggling, and the church quilting ladies are praying in the background. Have you ever heard of such a thing happening to a pastor?
Never.
I think not. I just hope that the whole congregation never hears about this. Or how about the next congregation, the one where he's just going to, the one where he got hired, what would they think?
That is beyond strange. It's absolutely horrendous. Not at all pastor-like.
Not at all.
Exactly. Absolutely disgraceful. Which reminds me of something else. Did you see all those requests in the bulletin? Request to invite Jim over for a meal.
I sure did. Who does that? So strange. But actually, my daughter had him over and said they had a wonderful time.
Oh, the same thing with my daughter. She even invited him over for one of the grandkids' birthdays, of all things. So all four grandkids are talking and telling him silly stories. I was so embarrassed. My granddaughter was even sitting on his lap. They were all acting like he was just a regular, normal person. So now, when they see him in church on Sunday morning, they smile and talk to him like they're friends or something.
Oh, so strange. So strange.
I remember, Thelma, years ago, when the minister would call and say he was coming for a visit, I'd get so nervous thinking perhaps I'd done something wrong. So I'd clean the house for days and I'd bake a special dessert. And when he came, we'd quietly sit in the living room, drinking our coffee, eating our pie, and I'd be so worried the whole time that somehow he'd found out what I'd done and I'd get excommunicated.
What had you done, Thelma? What had you done?
What? Oh, no, I did you say, oh, I wasn't talking about, I was speaking theoretically.
Oh, I see,
That's probably how some other people probably felt.
Right, oh, I see.
Yes, well, let's talk about something else, shall we?
All right. What do you think about suits? Don't you think a pastor should wear a suit? I think I've seen Jim in a suit maybe once or twice.
I totally agree. But my daughter says that nowadays it's more important to be comfortable in church, that clothes don't really matter.
Well, maybe if he wasn't so comfortable, he could stay behind the pulpit.
Were you here that one Sunday when Jim had on brown pants, a yellow sweater, and an orange shirt? It was ghastly.
Well, you know his wife. She lives in Waterloo. He has to dress himself.
They're separated?
Oh, no. They're not separated, no. Her job is in Waterloo. He's here as our interim pastor, remember?
Yes, well, I can see where that might be difficult, and that he'd probably like to be back home with his family.
Yes. You know, I think he's a very good man, Even though he's a rather strange, he's a very good man.
And I must admit, his sermons were very, very good.
Yes, they were.
And He was always friendly and kind to everybody.
Very friendly. Very friendly. And a good singer.
You know, I'm thinking that I rather liked him.
You know, I'm thinking that I rather liked him too.
In fact, I'm feeling quite brokenhearted that he's leaving.
It's all very, very sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very sad.
Maybe, Thelma, maybe we should go get some Kleenexes before the service starts in case we need them.
Yeah, seems I can't stop from crying.
Okay. I don't know why. I don't know why we have to lose such a wonderful pastor. I just don't know why.
Just the best.
I just don't know. I don't understand.
Good morning. Well, that was certainly a wonderful recap of episodes and memories that we've shared over the last couple of years. Thanks to Janet Welk, and thanks to Janet and Judy Cornies for sharing that with us this morning. I think a lot of those little scenes certainly encapsulate for all of us the memories that we've got, the friendships that we've made, so thank you. We'll invite the Sunday school children forward now, and they have a short presentation for Pastor Jim as well. Come quick, kids. Come with your smiling faces.
This on, oh, okay. Pastor Jim and Ingrid, this song is the kids' favorite song, so I hope you enjoy it. And before we go any further, there is no Sunday school classes for the grades 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. You're going to stay up here.
That's wonderful. Thank you. It's an espresso cup.
No, it's it's the flower pot with the hole in the
exactly.
Bottom.
Exactly. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for everything you've done for this Sunday school. All right, guys.
Okay, we have already experienced a really good start to our morning, so let's prepare ourselves now to praise God in this next hour of worship. We have asked Pastor Jim to choose his favorite songs for this morning, so we'll open our service by raising our voices as we sing hymn number 46, I Sing the Mighty Power of God. Please stand, number 46. Thank you for that opening hymn. Shape us into people of prayer, whose first thought in the morning is praise, whose watchword throughout the day is kindness, and whose last thought at night is peace, the deep peace of God. Let's pray. Loving Lord, you teach us to speak of hope as the coming of your kingdom. We know you are at work in our world, turning difficult and hopeless situations into good. We are assured that justice, goodness, and love will triumph in the end. We believe that true peace and true reconciliation come to us through you, Christ. This is our hope, this is our faith, this is our prayer. Amen. Got just a few announcements. As we gather to worship this morning, we also want to say a warm hello to all of those people who will be viewing our service at the Mennonite Home Complex via our new video and sound system. The service right now is being shown on Tuesday evenings at 6:30 in the Mennonite Home Chapel. This coming Sunday, the UMEI Fish Fry is happening. It's their last meal of the school year, so everyone is heartily invited to take part in that. Also, I wanted to mention that yesterday was Pastor Alicia's birthday. So can we please join in singing happy birthday to her?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Next weekend also, North Leamington is hosting the MCEC Women's Retreat here. So we hope that all women of all ages can come out on Friday and Saturday. And then on Sunday morning during our regular worship service, April Yamasaki will be sharing with us. She's a very gifted author and pastor, and so it's a unique opportunity to have her here in our presence. We hope you can make that. Also, she'll be leading the adult education class, which starts at 9 a.m., so take part in that as well. And we'll have our sharing time now.
Thanks for the happy birthdays. A couple of other announcements. Youth registration for Cedar Point is now open. It's open for people who are currently in grade 8 through grade 12. There are a limited number of seats, so please register early and speak to me in order to do that. And the other announcement is that May 11th, which is a Friday night, we've booked the escape room in Kingsville, and that's for junior and senior youth. So if you're in, you know, the end of grade 5 up through grade 12, you're welcome to come to that. So let me know if you'd like to register for the escape room, and more details are on our Facebook page. So what announcements do we, or what items do you have that you'd like to bring for us to pray about together today?
I'm Dennis Dreger. This past week, we celebrated my mom and dad's 65th anniversary. And coming this week is my dad's 90th birthday that we also celebrated. Our whole family made it from Waterloo and Saskatoon, and we had a great night.
That's fantastic. Can you share with us names of your parents?
Pardon me?
Can you share the names of your parents?
Abe and Helga Dreger.
On Friday, as part of a school board initiative, I participated in a mental health workshop. And many of you know that I'm a mental health advocate for our school and for our community. And the one thing that I realized again is that we really have a long way to go in mental health and the services that we are able to provide and how people become aware of those services and are, whether or not they're able to access them in a timely manner. So just prayers that we continue to make gains in that area and maybe discerning how we as a church can provide support to our community in that way.
We want to continue to pray for the family of Anita Lane. Rudy is the husband of Anita. She passed away this past week, and the funeral was yesterday. And we'll also pray for Brian and his partner Tia as well as they grieve for Anita. And we definitely want to continue to pray for peace in Syria. I know that tensions are rising there right now. So we want to continue to pray for peace there. Is there anything else? All right. Tip also mentioned to me that his daughter, C, is expecting a baby very shortly by C-section. And so we'll pray for C for a safe delivery for the baby. And in our regular cycle of prayer, we're praying for our neighbors at the Wheatley Evangel Tabernacle, and their pastor's name is Dorman Pollitt. Let's pray together. God, thank you that we can come together this morning on this cold and rainy and yucky day, and yet we can have fun together and worship you with joy and with laughter. We thank you for Pastor Jim and for his ministry and for Ingrid and their marriage and their children. And we pray for your blessing upon them as they begin a new ministry in Floridale. May you bless them, go with them, and continue to surround and guide them and their family. We give you thanks for that. We give thanks, God, for the life of Anita Lane. We remember her this morning, and we remember Rudy and Brian and Tia. And we ask for you to walk alongside of them as they grieve. May you bring them comfort and peace. We thank you for Abe and Helga, Dennis's parents. Thank you for this wonderful anniversary and birthday that they are able to celebrate. We give you praise for that, and we ask you to continue to bless them. Thank you for them, God. We remember this morning all those in our community who are struggling with their mental health. We ask, God, for improved access to resources so that they can be able to get good help in a timely way. We pray for all the doctors and nurses and social workers and staff who deal with people encountering mental illness issues. And we pray for wisdom for them. And for God, we pray for healing for all those who need it, who struggle with depression or with other mental health issues. We ask for your healing upon that. We thank you that there's becoming less stigma around it. We pray people not feel ashamed or embarrassed about it, but that they'd be able to ask for help when they need it and receive good support from their friends and from the community. We give you thanks for that. We thank you for C, for her pregnancy. We pray for a safe delivery. We pray as the doctors perform the C-section that it will go smoothly and there will be no complications and that the baby will be healthy and strong. We give you thanks for that baby and for C and for their family. We remember our neighbors at the Wheatley Evangel Tabernacle and their pastor, Dorman Pollitt, and we pray for your blessing on their ministry and thank you that they're serving you in this community. We give thanks for that. And Lord, we remember the violence. It's continuing to happen around the world, especially this morning. We remember Syria. We pray for a de-escalation of tensions and conflicts. We pray for cool thinking, for wise heads to prevail. We pray for wisdom for leaders who have the power to make decisions about what's happening there. And we pray that you will incline people's hearts toward peace, toward resolving conflicts with diplomacy. And we pray for an end to the violence. We give you thanks, God, for the Syrians who are in our community. And we pray for your blessing as they establish new lives in Canada. We pray that that we would be able to remember each other as neighbors and as friends. We give you thanks for that. And so all these things and the things that are on our hearts this morning that we haven't spoken out loud, we bring to you this morning. We trust that you are good and faithful to hear those things that we name and those things that are quiet within us. We trust them into your care. In Jesus' name, amen.
We'll ask the ushers to take the offering now, and we're going to sing the hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be. It's going to be found up on the screen. So the words are a little bit different than what is in our hymnal. So even if you think you know the hymn off by heart, you might want to check out the words. We're going to sing the first four verses with Sandra, and then the fifth verse we will sing a cappella. So the ushers for the offering.
Thank you.
Another one of Jim's favorite hymns is from Sing the Journey, the Green Book, number 44, The Love of God. We're going to sing verse 1 and the chorus, and then we'll follow with verses 2 and 3, and then we'll end with the chorus. So we just won't be singing the chorus between verse 2 and 3. Please stand if you're able.
I'm going to warn you that Thelma and Bertha are not going to be happy about the bike. But then I also need to tell you that I'm only internment. What am I going to tell you on my last sermon? I mean, the options are endless, are they not? I'm going to do something that really makes you... I need my remote. Come to church with, say, a 50-pound backpack, and you leave with a 100-pound backpack, right? I'm going to tell you to love more. That's it. I'm going to tell you to love more. Except most of us are probably giving it our best shot anyway, aren't we? I know. I'm going to tell you to give more. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you to give more. Except didn't you say once, Jim, that God loves a cheerful giver? I know. I'm going to tell you to serve more. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you to serve more. Except most of us are probably giving it our best shot already, aren't we? And, oh, I know we could all serve a little more, but some of us feel like we've already done our part. And Didn't you say, Jim, that God loves joyful service? Do you guys know the story of Elijah? He was a prophet. He was a prophet that was fiery and faithful. I told you a couple weeks ago, he had this time when Israel, it hadn't rained for 3.5 years in the land, and God told him it should rain again. And so Elijah started praying. Now, he was a real prayer. I mean, this guy could pray. And so he had King Ahab, and Elijah had a servant. And so he's praying, and he sends a servant off to check to see if it's rained. And the servant comes back and says, nope. And Elijah keeps praying. And he sends him off again, and he says, has it rained yet? Nope. And then he sends him off again. Has it rained yet? Nope. Elijah keeps praying. Sends him off a fourth time. Has it prayed yet? Nope. Five. Nope. Six. Nope. Seventh. On the seventh time, his servant comes back and says, yeah, I see a cloud over the sea, but it's about the size of a man's hand. And then Elijah says to his servant, you better go tell King Ahab, get home before you get soaked. He had that kind of faith. And then a little while later, he decided to have a contest, a kind of spiritual contest, my God versus your God kind of contest. He had all the prophets of Baal, the local worshiper God guys, set up a sacrifice. And he said, okay, you guys pray, and if your God smokes the sacrifice, then your God's the real deal. And if not, I'll do it, and then it'll be mine, right? And so they set up the sacrifice, and these guys pray all morning, and nothing happens. These prophets of Baal. And Elijah, because he's such a fierce guy, so full of faith, he starts to intimidate them a little bit. He says, maybe your God is sleeping. And then he actually says, maybe your God is sitting on the toilet. Nothing happens. They're cutting themselves, trying to get their God's attention. You don't need to do that either. And what happened was, Elijah says, fine. And then just to show off a little bit, he brings buckets of water, soaks the sacrifice, sets up the altar of the Lord, prays, and the thing is smoked, just like that. Now, you would think with that kind of faith, nothing would throw this guy, because he can pray and literally smoke sacrifices and pray, see a size of fist cloud, call faith in that. But actually what happens is, because of this and because Elijah wiped out the prophets of Baal, which is an awful story, Queen Jezebel, King Ahab's wife, wants him killed. Now, you would think a little threat from somebody about your death when you've got so much faith wouldn't throw you. But one of the things you find out about Elijah is he's peddling pretty quickly in his life. And he starts to run. And he runs and he runs and he runs. 40 days and 40 nights. He gets fed by birds and angels. And he comes to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God, because they believe that God spoke on mountains. And what happened was Elijah climbs the mountain. And the Lord says to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And you have the first sense that Elijah gets off the bike. And then the Lord says, come out of the cave, Elijah. Because he was in a cave. Because the Lord is going to pass by. And this is what happened next. You can read it with me. It's on the screen. Now there was a great wind, so strong it was splitting rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of sheer silence. And because of the sound of sheer silence, and because Elijah is off the bike, he hears the word of the Lord to him, and it's the most wonderful and amazing question. And the question is, what are you doing here, Elijah? It's not accusation. I think the Lord is trying to locate this man of faith in his world. And what Elijah does, key to burnout, is he thinks he's the only faithful guy in the land. He thinks he's it. He thinks it's him versus no one else. And what the Lord does is say, go appoint these folks to help you out. And he sends them help. What am I inviting you to this day for the sermon that you've always wanted? We get off the bike. That's our spiritual task. That's our spiritual task. If the bike represents our attempts to get ahead, we get off the bike. If the bike represents our belief that it's all up to us, as it was for Elijah, we get off the bike. If getting off the bike means that we quit holding the idea that if we aren't anxious about all those that we love, they're not going to be safe, we get off the bike. We get off. If we're blocked in our work or our parenting or whatever you pick, we get off the bike. This is a step of faith. If you think that it's all about being productive, and that's what we move for, because apart from all of the stuff around living and serving and moving, we have technology which calls us to run faster and faster and faster. A few years ago, I've probably told you this story. I was at the gathering, and I, like Elijah, I wasn't the only faithful one, trust me on that, but I was running this church and trying to start it and get everything going. And there was a bunch of things coming at me all at once. People were asking me to do this and that, and there was an option to do this or to do that. And I had all these thoughts in my head about what I should be or could be or would be doing and which one would be the best door to open so that this church would actually be successful and be built up. And in that middle of that time, I found myself starting to really race because I was just not sure which doors to open and which doors to close. And in the middle of that, I was reading a book. And in the book, I don't remember what the question was, but the question that I asked the Lord that day is, Lord, is there anything that you could ask me that would give me focus in my ministry? Lord, is there anything that you could ask me that would give me focus in my ministry? And I had not formed that question fully in my spirit and finished it. And the Lord said, yes, do you love me? Well, that's a darn good question. I hadn't thought of that. But that question in my life allowed a bunch of things in my life to just wash off. And it provided focus and clarity. It was the same question Jesus asked Peter when he denied him three times. He didn't focus on his failure. He just said, do you love me? Right? Getting off the bike is a clear spiritual task that we have to do. When we get off the bike as a church, we pause and say, it's not all about us. And our task is to listen and to wait and to trust that when Jesus said, I will build my church, the promise was not negated on North Leamington United Mennonite Church. When we do it as parents, we recognize that we try our best, but the spiritual task that we have is also to let go and release those that have been entrusted to us. We recognize that we are on a mission, but that mission is first and foremost fully formed in us. What is the story about Jesus in your life that the world cannot do without? And we pause and we ask at those points when we want to pedal quickly and say, Lord, what's up? What now? We rest on the Sabbath not to appease an angry God, because God says you can pedal for 6 days, but stop pedaling at least one so you can regroup. And in our world, one is a minimum standard. Which brings me to my leaving. In the early church, when you read the book of Acts, one of the things they did when people left, leaders left, is they prayed and they blessed them. They stopped their bikes all the time. After fasting and praying, they laid hands on Paul and Silas, I think, there, and sent them off. And then in Acts 21, when our days were ended, we proceeded on our journey, and all of them with wives and children escorted us out of the city. And there we knelt down on the beach and we prayed. And finally, when he had finished speaking, Paul the apostle knelt down with them all and prayed. And there was weeping among them all, and they embraced Paul and kissed him, grieving especially because of what he'd said, that they would not see him again. And they brought him to the ship. We pause today as I leave, and you've said it hurts for you, and it hurts for me too. But we recognize that we're part of a larger mission, a larger group, a larger focus that is beyond us, that God has called us to. And so we bless and release each other and walk ahead in faith on the mission that God is calling us to. Here's the good news I have for you today. You can get off the bike. We get off the bike as a way of acknowledging that God is God and we are not. We get off the bike as a way of releasing and letting go those things that we hold so tightly in our grip. And we get off the bike as a way of saying, Jesus, however, whenever, I'm yours. Take me. And in that we find, as Elijah did on the mountain, the enriching, sweet presence of God, who called him away from himself to notice others around him, who God had also entrusted, and he called Elijah to peace. Let's pray together. We've been taught, if we grew up in the Mennonite Church, God, that we had to pedal quickly to keep you happy, that at the end you keep score of all the miles we've traveled on our bike. But we know that's not true. We know that you rested, Jesus, and you got off your bike even when people were looking for miracles in Luke 5. I pray for the grace for people in this church who need to step off the bike, for you to give them grace to do so. We thank you that you know our hearts, you know our motives, you know our intentions, and you understand us even more completely than we understand ourselves. We pray your wholeness, your blessing, and your purpose and life on this church as they welcome new leaders and they walk together. Jesus, may your purposes for this church be fulfilled. Thank you for Alicia. Bless her and Billy and Natalia and their family. And continue to hold this church in your sweet and blessed presence as people learn to walk in freedom, in grace, in hope, and in trust. Because in the end, you are God and we are not. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.